Romans 4:17. What we've been talking about. Getting people built up for this next move of God. I don't know if I necessarily need a miracle, but I will take a breakthrough. See, sometimes we ask for the wrong thing. So I'll take a breakthrough too, Lord. Some people need a miracle, but I don't really need a miracle. I mean, if you want to give me one, I'll take it, but I just settle for a good old-fashioned breakthrough. Tell somebody to say, breakthrough coming to you. You should receive that. In Romans 4:17, it says, as is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed. He gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Give your neighbor a high five and say, buckle up as you get ready to take your seat. We've been talking about speaking what the end's going to be. Oftentimes, we haphazardly give our words to the devil. And we speak things counterintuitive to our own personal lives and success. He's the God, watch this, he's the God of this world, this cosmos, and he'll put facts in front of you. He's the God of this world, and he'll put things that are definitely a fact in front of you, but just because it's a fact, that don't mean that God is behind it. If you believe that God is behind it, then you don't resist it. And herein is the problem. And many in the body of Christ's life, they just accept any old thing, not whether even asking God, God, is this you or not? Should I be resisting this? Now, it ain't hard to figure out, because a lot of stuff you can just look in the Bible and say that that ain't God. Is he the God of sickness? Is he the God of disease? No, that's what he died for. Is he the God of poverty? Mm-hmm. Abuse. You know, Deacon Sanders has said, he was talking about that God don't scare us with hell. He don't have the ability to scare us with hell, because scaring is a tool, an instrument of the satanic. So he's not capable of scaring you from the standpoint of what we think. That's not in him. And so the devil controls a lot of these things that go against what the Bible says, and we accept it because it's a fact. But facts ain't final. That's where faith comes in. Doctors can give you any kind of report. I don't suggest you ignore the report. I'm just saying if it's there, it's just there. But then just because it's there don't mean God put it there. So if it's cancer, you don't receive that. You know, you just believe all the way to the end to say, hey, God, I know this ain't your work. Can you help a brother out? And you put your faith out there to believe God, and you never contribute your words to the devil. You never speak that over yourself. You don't own diabetes. You never own high blood pressure. Take your medicine while you're believing for a healing, but you don't own those type of things. Because, you know, we get trapped in this dimension because the devil used people to display kindness to us while they're packaging poison and giving it to us. So they'll be smiling in your face, and they'll be loving what we think is loving up on us, but the whole time they'll be telling you, you got cancer, ain't nothing you can do about it. They got them white suits on, you got cancer, ain't nothing you can do about it. And they being real kind to you, and the whole time they peddling poison, say, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. But we ain't been taught to resist it. Much of the Christian world, brother, they're not being taught to resist that. But we're going to work on resisting it. Amen. The Bible talks about, we were talking about, that he gave us these abilities to do what I call use faith commands. Calling things that be not as though they were. Faith commands. It ain't just conjuring up just random stuff and then just saying it. We're seeking the word. You seeking a word from God. You talking to the Father, and you seeking a word from him. When he gives you a word, or you find a word, and you ask him, hey, God, can I use this over my life? God say yes. You start using that over your word. You start aligning. Watch this. You have to start aligning your words. You have to teach your mouth to speak while you're training your heart to believe. You teach your mouth to speak while you're training your heart to believe. So when you're doing that and you're using faithful words, you're training, because sometimes things could be so big, you start off, you got a mustard seed, you got a measure of faith, but you don't know if you can believe for that. So what do? You start putting the word of God in your mouth. You start talking the way God talks. And you got to do it outside of church. Amen, oh my. You got to do it outside of church, because that's where the battle really going to get. Because, you know, with all the faith and all the Holy Ghost up in here, it's going to be hard for the devil to come in and publicly announce himself. Right. But he'll try to get you when you're in the car, or when you in your bathroom, or when you're brushing your teeth, or when you know, somebody will call you and ask you and tell me the truth. I am telling you the truth. By his stripes, I'm healed. That ain't what the doctor say. Don't give me that faith stuff. Then don't give me your stuff. You act like you was loving on me when you called, but you peddling poison. You trying to get me to speak death over myself. You trying to get me to speak death over my marriage, or death over my money, or death over my children. You trying to get me to agree with it, that something's wrong with my mind. But according to him, if I'll just take the, how can something be wrong with my mind and I got the mind of Christ? Amen. So you got to put up some resistance, and you start by trusting in God completely. Say, trust in God completely. You got to be willing to obey his word. We talked about even when the circumstances are unfavorable, and then you got to seek God for giving you a word. You got to hold on to it no matter what, and you have to believe that what God is telling you is the truth. You have to believe when you come to church that you're going to hear from God about your life. Now, that comes with, you know, it's one of those things to where, again, you shouldn't be in a place where you don't believe in your preacher. And some of them, you know, they put themselves in that because they play with people too much. They play outside the pulpit with people too much. But you shouldn't be in a place where you don't believe that when that person's opening their mouth talking to you, that you're going to hear with God. And you should not flood them when you don't have circumstances with menial conversations. You want to talk to them when you need something, and then what you're believing for is that God will open up their spirit and give you what you need. So I often tell people, you don't want to be my friend. It kills my ability to prophesy to you. You don't want to be up under me like that. You don't want to do that, because it hurts my ability to help you when you really need help. But how many know that? Thank God we don't do a lot of that around here, but God want to help us. And you got to believe that God is telling you the truth. And I'm telling you that he's positioning us for an incredible season, but you got to get your faith up. You got to watch your mouth. You got to put the word in your mouth. And you got to be bold enough to declare it no matter what the facts are saying. So healing, deliverance, preaching, miracles, leading people to Christ, or evangelism It did not stop. Go to John 11. It did not stop because Jesus ascended. Matter of fact, Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. He didn't say he was coming to do them. He said, greater works than these shall you do. Now, he's not talking to everybody. This is, look at this way. This is predicated on the fact that you are actually born again. He's not talking to everybody. He's saying, greater works than these shall you do because you are born of by his spirit and you filled with his spirit. If you're born by his spirit, by the Holy Ghost, Jesus has ascended, the Holy Ghost, when you accept Jesus and you're really born again, he moves into your heart and he brings the kingdom of God with him, meaning that everything starts in the spirit realm, but now the Holy Ghost is in you and he's able to help you extract what you need. So tell your neighbor, you must be born again. You cannot be just a church goer. That's no good. The devil wants your kids to just be church goers. That's garbage. They got to be born again. And when you are born again, you're born by his spirit. You're filled with his spirit. And then that, watch this, that positions us to do greater works. Meaning that you don't have to be running over here. You don't have to be running over there. You ain't got to be going to some crusade. You got what you need. You just got to tap into it. Amen. You already got what you're looking for. If you're born again. If you ain't born again, you better hook with somebody who is born again. Maybe they can get it for you. But let's move and look John 11:14. Because a big part of having confidence in the word of God is knowing that God will do it. The big part of having confidence in the Bible is believing that God will do what he says. If God will not do what he says, or you don't believe that he'll do what he says, you look for other options. Now, follow me a little bit. This is many people's problem. They don't believe that God will do what he says. That's why they always call in other people. I'm not talking about for some, you know, additional encouragement here and there. I'm talking about they're looking to people to be solutions for them. And people limited. They look for people to be providers for them. They ain't got no money themselves. You took their gas money. They gave it to you, but they ain't got no money. So they're not looking to God because they don't believe that he says, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm your provider. So they don't ask God and then look for God to give them, watch this, some steps to take. Even if it's just getting in a car and going and sitting in the parking lot of the grocery store, I'm going to prove it to you in a second. They got to do something. But they don't want to do that because it don't make no sense. But God says, I use foolish things when I'm trying to confound the wise. When I'm trying to do something, it don't make no sense to you. You got to trust that you heard from me. And then you got, watch this, you have to do it exactly like he told you to do it. This is why you don't bounce it off people. Because they be doing their best, but you leave from them confused. Look at somebody and say, the more you talk to people about your situation, tell them, the more you talk to people about it, the more confused you're going to get. Many voices. So some things you got to be just listening to the Lord about. And watch what Jesus do. And you speak the end. Jesus always spoke the end. In John 11, it talks about a man named Lazarus. He's sick. Go to Sister send a messenger out to them. I left off here last week to go tell Jesus that Lazarus, whom is his friend, is sick. The messenger goes and tell Jesus that Lazarus is sick. And Jesus heard it. And Jesus says, he ain't sick unto death. he died. And Jesus says, his sickness ain't unto death. What is Jesus doing? He knows that when he talks to the Father, because he's functioning as a man. Don't leave that part out. He is the Son of God. He has not been crucified yet. He has not yet ascended. He is not the Christ yet. He's not the anointed yet. So, but God is anointing him with power. Are you following me? He is not the anointed yet. God is anointing him with power. He is seeking the Father, and God is anointing him in situations to do this. And he is going to the Father every single day. And I guarantee you there's never a day that Jesus walked to earth. Once his ministry began, he didn't do no miracles or nothing before his ministry began. Before he got out that wilderness and was tried by the devil, he never did anything of miraculous state. So there are books out here that tell you Jesus was healing kids. Jesus wasn't healing no kids. It talked about Jesus was doing all these things and stuff was happening when he would touch it. He wasn't doing none of that because the Bible doesn't say that. And he has not been anointed with power from on high yet. He is not the Christ. He is Jesus, the Son of God. Now, why did I say all that? Because Jesus goes to the Father and Jesus says his sickness is not unto death. He is not dead. Why? He knows that when he talks to the Father has never denied him anything that's in his will. So he knows that it's not Lazarus' time to die. And watch what Jesus does. He starts speaking the end results. That's somebody's word right now. Your situation ain't unto death. How do you know? Because y'all just got started. It's dead right now because you ain't never went to the Father to get it up off the ground. But he's saying, speak the end because you got a future together. You got a life together. And how all this going to happen? When you enter into matrimony, the Bible talks about you enter into a grace of life together, which means that I have to have her to get what I need down there. So why am I going to let him die right here? Because it's going to change what we get down there. I tell you, if you by your spouse, say, I need you to survive. Two people, oh, y'all, rest of y'all shacking? Look at your wife and say, your husband, say, I need you to survive. Now, it's up to you if you let it die at that point. Ooh-wee. Ain't got nothing to do with God. It's up to you whether you let it die. Because Jesus is saying he's speaking what he wanted to be. And this ain't witchcraft. This ain't voodoo. Tell somebody to say, this is how the spirit realm work. Go to 2 Kings. It ain't dead yet. How would you, let's just use a marriage. How would you know a marriage is dead? How would you know? How would you know that it's dead? One of the people are physically dead. Or we signed the death decree called divorce. If ain't none of that happened, it ain't dead yet. I'm preaching to somebody real good up in here. If that hasn't happened, it ain't dead. It's dying. But it ain't dead. So when you talking about... Sometimes you need God to get involved. In 2 Kings, you find this lady. I'm going to show you how this works because you're looking at me funny, so I got to go someplace else. In 2 Kings, you find this lady that the man of God tell her that she going to have a son. She wasn't even asking for no son. She's at a point in her life that she's probably older. She probably has stopped even believing for a son. The man of God say, hey, God going to give you a son. God going to give you a son. God going to give you a business. God going to give you a baby. God going to give you a whatever. And she didn't even ask for it. Anybody ever had somebody prophesy to you something that God is going to do and you weren't even seeking God for it? And then it come to pass. Which is an indication that sometimes we don't even know what to ask God for. That's why it hasn't showed up. And then God gives it to somebody else and they ask on your behalf and then you get it. Say, speak Holy Ghost. Because some of you done gave up on some things and you done stopped even asking for it. You done took it off your vision list, but God says, I want to give it to you. that I'm going to bring it to pass in your life. And she not asking for no baby. And watch what happened. She conceived. The woman conceived in verse 17. She bore sons and at a due time, just like the man that God said. And when the child was older, he went out into the field with his father and the reapers. And the boy started complaining of a headache. Now, what probably happened to this boy was, you know, just because, you know, I've just been out there. He probably had a heat stroke. And they will kill you. And without treatment, they will kill you quickly. And if you ever been over there, you get hot real quick. You go out there mess around with no water if you want to, and you be dead as a doorknob. And so she talked about his head was hurting, and the father said to the servant, carry the boy to his mama. Like a smart man would say, all smart men. He carried him and brought him to his mother, and the child sat on her lap until noon, and then the boy died. Now, this is a God-giving child. This is something that God gave to her that she didn't even ask for, and now the baby is, he's not a baby, the boy is dead. So, a lot of time, God give us something, we know it's God, and then we let the devil kill it, and we just take it. We didn't even ask for it. God give it to you. The devil take it. See, I'm taking back everything the devil done took from me. That was worth some of you coming to church from. Say, I'm taking back everything he done stole from me. And we sit up there and take it because much of the Christian world has been taught to just accept whatever happens and we don't put up no resistance. But watch what this woman did. She carried the boy back to the man of God and carried him and sat on the child's lap. And she went up and laid him at the bed of the man of God, closed the door on him. Watch this. And she left. And then she called to her husband and said, send me one of the servants, one of the donkeys, so that I may quickly go to the man of God, because he wasn't there. But she put him on his bed. I'm going to bring back to you what you said God gave to me. And why she go to him that day, and neither no moon nor by Sabbath, everybody that was asking her, she kept saying, what does she kept saying? Her son is dead. She kept saying, it is well. She keeps saying, the boy is dead. It is well. It's going to be all right. One translation says, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You think he going to survive? Yeah, he going to survive. It's going to be all right. You think that he's going to get up off of this and is he going to have brain damage? No, he's going to be all right. You think he's going to come back home someday and he's going to be the kind of man or the kind of woman that God prophesied that he was going to be? Yeah, it's going to be all right. He's on drugs right now. Yeah, he's in some rehabilitation, but he got some addiction. She out there on some stripper pole, but no, God prophesied what she was going to be. I know what it looked like. I know you looking at the facts because you so worldly and carnal, but the Lord tells somebody, say, it's going to be all right. See, because if you get fixated with facts, you will let what's supposed to live die. And what she kept saying, she keeps lining her words up with her heart posture. Her heart posture is in faith. So out of the abundance of your heart posture, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth tells what you believe. And this is why you can almost hardly ever believe what a person say in church. You got to go home with them. You got to wait till you in private with the brother to figure out what he, you got to wait till ain't nobody in the apartment, but you and the sister, y'all just sitting around chopping it up. And then what she talks, that's who she really is. Tell somebody and you should believe her. If you sit by somebody, just look at them and say, don't make me find another friend. don't make me cut you off because you're talking crazy. But the Lord is saying to somebody, whatever situation you're in right now, it's going to be all right. You want to believe. Teach your mouth to keep speaking what you believe. Don't just let your mouth go crazy and you got faith for a potential miracle in hibernating in your heart. You got to get that stuff out of you. And you got to shut your mouth with the negative and start declaring. Because all God's, all the promises of God are what? They yes and amen. They positive. All that God says, all that God wants to do is yes and amen. Now, he will allow the devil to do some things to you, but really it's something that you believe. You better get the revelation of what I'm saying. Job, all his family was dead. Because he bought into what the devil was doing. Job caused all that. His whole, I don't want to say what they call them, ranch. His whole ranch was wrecked. Because he opened the door to that. The devil took all of his kids. Because Job opened the door to that. Right? He opened the door because he got in fear, which is of the devil, and because that's what he believed was going to happen, God had to allow the devil to do it. You better listen to what I'm saying, because that's where he had positioned his faith at, and it came upon him. And then and the scripture says, Job says, and the thing that I have greatly feared have come upon me, because that's what his heart posture was. But you got to see yourself in an elevated, victorious place in God. I don't care if you're in the worst condition of your life. I don't care what's happening in your marriage or your money or your mind or your body. You can't buy into that. You got to see yourself that God going to reach down wherever you at and feel through the poop and the mud and the dirt and the filth and say, I know you down there somewhere. I can't see you because you done blended in with the world, but I can hear your heart posture calling me to pick you up out of that junk, and the Lord will find you in your darkest hour, and he'll work a miracle in your life if you'll believe him for it. Say, that's the kind of God that I serve. Say, that's the kind of God that you serve. And don't you talk no other kind of way. Your job is to regurgitate the word of the Lord in the face of the devil, no matter what the facts are saying. You may be saying you're sick. Yeah, but my God is a healer. He's saying that you're going to be broke, busted, and disgusted, and you're going to wind up in some bankruptcy court. But yeah, my God is Jehovah Jireh. You are in a fight. You've been in warfare for the last 3 years. Yeah, but the Lord is going to bring me the banner of victory in here after a while. And when the Lord put down his stake up here, you can rest assured that the fight is over. He done released angels all over this place to war on my behalf. Are you following what I'm saying? And your job is to regurgitate what the Lord is saying. Never give place to the devil. We give place to the devil because we are projecting his worth. He is not a creator. But you are. You can call things to be not as though they were. You can call sick. You can call weak. You can call poor blessed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He can't do all that. He got to trick you into using your heart posture and your words to bring negative on you. But shout, it's coming to a stop today. Yeah, the Lord say it's over. He's trying to position you for a breakthrough. And that's why you got to stop all this pouting and getting your lips and your face all twisted and looking all crazy. And because that's a reflection of what you believe. And the devil say, why would I stop when you praying? Because your face is reflecting what you really believe. I think I'm going to turn up the volume now. I think I'm going to really crank it up. Meaning sometimes you got to smile when you're down. You got to laugh when you want to cry. You got to leap and run when you want to fall out somewhere. You got to do the opposite of what the devil is telling you to do when you want a breakthrough. If you want God to move, you got to do something to get him there. You got to praise God in the church house when you want to lay on the couch and moan and whine and complain and fuss and fight and fret and be depressed. No, you got to do the opposite. Tell somebody to do the opposite of what you believe, of what you're thinking, rather. Because all that craziness don't come from the devil. And all this woman did was keep her mouth on her breakthrough. Tell somebody, say, keep your mouth on your breakthrough. Say it till you see it. Call it till it comes. Say, keep your mouth on your breakthrough. Keep on confessing and professing until heaven get the news. He already done heard you. He's just trying to see if you're going to keep it out there in the atmosphere. Now, why is this important? Because Hebrews said that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of your confessions. He is your apostle and he is the high priest of what you saying about yourself. Ask your neighbor, say, what are you saying about yourself? You crazy if you're talking about yourself in a negative way. Say, what are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about your children? What are you saying about your health? What are you saying about your business? What are you saying about your money? What are you saying about your career? You crazy if you're talking against yourself. No, I'm going to talk well. I'm going to speak well. Shout, all is well. All is well in my house. Shout, all is well. All is well in your house. Shout, all is well. All is well in my family's house. Shout, all is well. All is well in my children's house. Shout, all is well. All is well in the church house. Shout, all is well. I'm going to decree and I'm going to declare of the goodness of the Lord until it show up in my life. But what I'm not going to do is let the devil hijack and arrest my words. I'm not going to let him twist me and put my mouth under arrest when I can decree and declare the goodness. I want to tell you, your end is going to be good. I come to tell you, I don't care what you're facing right now. The end of it is going to be good. All things work together for the good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Even if you're in a fight, if that's where the Lord want to be, just tell the devil, say, I'm in it for the long haul. You're the one going to lose. I'm not going to lose my reward. I'm in it for the long haul. I don't care how long it take me to get the victory. You can put up a good fight if you want to, but the Lord has called me to this place. And if you want to fight me for it, I'm ready for the fight because the Lord is on my side. He's on my behalf. Whatever you want to do, just shout, bring it three times. Bring it, bring it, bring it. And you only talk like that because you confident in the Lord that he'll do what he say he going to do. When you confident in what the Lord, when the Lord is backing you, can't no fear grip your heart. Mama done had a heart attack. You need to get here now. Are you flying out? No, I'm going to drive. You need to get hit by in the morning. I got a presentation. I'm going to be there. Why? Because fear hasn't gripped my heart. And that's why Jesus said with Lazarus, it's good for you that I delayed this. Sometimes God will tell you to do the opposite of what your family is telling you because he's trying to get them to see the goodness of the Lord. You tell them that it's going to be all right. You ain't got on no plan. You're going to drive. You understand what I mean? Because you know as soon as me and the Lord show up, even if it's dead, I can call it forth. I can call some things that be not as though they were. Child, it's going to be all right. And that's what Jesus did in that case. He made it all right. He called Lazarus out the grave. He calls him out the grave, a bad situation. And not only did he, when you look at other passages, there were other people up in there. And they make that mention because if he don't call Lazarus by name, everybody comes out. Which is to say that sometimes you can be in a cave in church, sitting around people in cave on your row, and then they ain't moving, but then you start shouting for no reason at all because God called your name. And that's why you can't be effective if ain't nobody moving on your own. We all sitting on this row and we spiritually dead right now, but I can hear the Lord calling my name. And they start running and they start leaping and they start shouting. Tell somebody, say, the Lord is calling my name. I can hear him. He said he was going to do something in my life when I got to church today, and the Lord is, he's speaking right down. He's coming down my avenue. He's calling me by name. And when the Lord calls your name, he's calling you for a purpose, and he's calling you to bless him. He's going to bless you somehow. So I got next. Go to Mark 5. See, now, this is what I want to point out, how Jesus did that. But go to Mark 5. Jesus, I don't want to overlook this. He told them to roll the stone away. Now, this is important. I'm not going to be a prolonged, so just hang with me for a minute. Jesus tells them to roll the stone away. And this is to signify to us, say to us, that when he's telling us to do something like that, everything that can be done humanly possible, you have to do it. Look this way, please. Everything that has to be, needs to be done by human hands and effort has to be done first. He didn't have to have the stone rolled away. He could have just spoke to Lazarus, and Lazarus would have moved the stone. You follow me now? Oftentimes what we do, we want the end result, but we haven't done everything that we need to do. So he says, roll the stone away. Why? Because he says, I got to make sure that you're preparing for the end result. You talking it, but are you preparing for it? See, anything that's trapped in the spirit, you got to make room for it in the natural. You got to clean out some stuff. You got to get some stuff off the landing spot, because he won't let it reside with the breakthrough. So everything that you need to do, it has to be done. Okay, let's just say we fighting. The first thing I got to do is purpose not to fight. I'm preparing for the end. And so you have to do those things that God is calling you to do. And that's setting you up for him to come in and do something miraculous for you. Anybody looking for a miracle? In Mark 5, here Jesus is, he done told them they're going to the other side. Got them on the boat, preparing them for crossover to a place. And he wants to see, you know, many of you, God has gave you a distance and a direction, but then you'll be like, man, I can't see how it's going to happen. That's not speaking the end. We all going to find ourselves in situations that are contrary, that look contrary to the plan of God for our life. That's where you hearing and speaking comes into pass. When you think about the life of, let's just say, Abraham that had multiple encounters with God. That's why I said that he was fully persuaded. Because in his darkest hours, God would meet him and confirm to him what he heard the first time was correct. And then he'd give more detail to it. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He comes back the second time. Abraham got to be in a low place. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Abraham, look into the star in the sky. Abraham, count the stars. You know I can't count the stars, Lord. So shall your seed be, Abraham. Keep believing for the end result. Abraham, count the sand. You know I can't count all the sand. So shall your seed be, Abraham. Abraham is having all these experiences with God because doubt still tries to creep in. Every promise, every prophecy, anytime God promises you provision or some type of healing or breakthrough, it's going to be challenged. All the way down to the delay caused Abraham's wife to encourage him to have a child with another woman, an adulterous affair. And God said, no, Abraham, I can't use that, but I'm going to bless him because he's yours. But that's not the promise. That's not, you created that, Abraham. I'm going to bless it, but you created this. What's going to happen in you, Abraham, is going to come through the Spirit. And he comes and he visits, because God doesn't revisit some of you with some things. And I say visit it, you can be driving. You have been driving, and it just dropped right back down in your heart again. and it seemed like you light years away from it. You're not light years away from it. You're talking to God. And when God is talking to you, you write up on whatever you heard him say. Ooh-wee. When God start talking to you about it, you write up on it. You got to just come into agreeance with it. And then God says, now I want you to start projecting it in your atmosphere. Say, speak into your atmosphere. I want you to start projecting what you're hearing into that atmosphere. Now, we would have to know this to be true, because you could have all kind of crazy stuff playing in your house, and you may not even have been in the room with it, and then you have nightmares because it's being projected into that atmosphere. Say, I'm healed. I'm healthy. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I'm happy. My home is happy. My marriage is healthy. My mind is strong. People love me. I'm highly favored. You got to project it into your atmosphere, because God knows if you don't believe it, you won't say it. Because we say what we believe in private. See, when you're dealing with a person and you really want to know if they really believe, talk to them offline. Never in a group. Do you know that when God want to do miracles, a lot of time he'll call you away from the closest people? Preach, Holy Ghost. That boy that was blind that Jesus sped into the ground and put the clay on his eyes. I'm working on somebody's faith. I'm gonna go back to Mark 5 in a second. But that guy, when he sped on the ground and he put it on his eyes, Jesus left all his family in the city, and he called him out the city to a place where he could be by himself following the Spirit, and then God healed his eyes. Because sometimes God will want to work something great in your life, and then you tell it to people who can't see it and they haven't heard it, and they'll be talking about, well, I don't want you to get disappointed. Don't believe God. God don't do it for everybody. So God said, I want you to move away from them, because I'm saying God wants you to have what you're hearing in your spirit right now. And he's calling you. Can't figure out why certain relationships have dissolved, because they were your destiny killers. They had more influence over your life than you did, and you follow every direction and order that they gave you. And God said, if I don't get you away from them, you're never gonna follow me. So you thought it was because of some other reason, but God says, I'm talking to somebody now. He said they were killing your destiny. But now you can get ready for it. I say, now you can get ready for it. I say, now you can get ready for it. In Mark 5, everybody say, speak the end results. And when Jesus had passed over by the ship on the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Verse 22, and behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He besought him, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, you know the story, but Jesus is going to Jairus' house, and the woman with the issue of blood interrupts Jesus and Jairus. Well, she deserved to get healed too. Yeah, but she's not dying. And she done had this issue for a long time, so obviously she figured out a way to live with it. And Jesus, knowing Jairus' daughter is dying, stops and entertains this woman, watch this, in front of Jairus. While he's entertaining her, and she actually gets healed out of the situation, while he is yet dealing with this woman issue, the messenger comes from Jairus' house and say, why are you troubling the master? Your daughter is dead. Most people would have gave up right there. I'm working on somebody's faith right now. Most people would have gave up right there when somebody tell them that ain't no help for it and can't nothing be done, and you know people don't recover from this and it don't happen for them. You trying to get your business off the ground? Well, I knew somebody who had the same business and they did the same thing and it didn't work for them. But we say, ain't you and you ain't me. And Jesus lets the messenger come, and he tells him, he says, don't be afraid, Jairus. Tell somebody, say, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He says, your daughter going to be all right, don't be afraid. Jesus is allowing this because even though Jairus is trying to believe, his faith is not really strong enough to pull in what he need. See, I'm talking to some people who hating on people that God blessing them in front of you. Look this way, please. I'm talking. You see, your marriage is, and your family is busted. And then God will allow you to see somebody, family rejoicing and their kids getting breakthroughs and whatever the case may be. And it's like God is doing it in your face. He's not punishing you. He said, I'm trying to get your faith up to show you what you can have as well. Why they get the promotion? Why they get this? Why they get that in front of me? He said, you don't have enough faith for it right now. So this wasn't to torment you. This was to expose you of what your breakthrough going to look like. I want to tell somebody, all them people you've been envying and you thought God was doing it, the devil was doing it in your face, and you got an attitude to them. No, God was trying to position your faith to a point to where you said, I got next. Shout, I got next three times. I got next. I got next. And so you got to be close enough to be exposed to it. Why? Because you're never going to go no higher than what you're exposed to. Some of you trying to go back home where you was born at. Ain't nobody came up at all, and God done brought you to a place. And every time you turn around, you getting taken to another level. And you trying to go back because your family there, and y'all got some land there. Ain't nobody want no land. Ain't nobody building nothing around there. But everything that God has done in your life, he had to get you away from there. And you trying to go back to a step down, and God done brought you to a place where he's stepping you up. Say, God is calling me up to a higher place in him. God is calling you up to a higher level in him. Don't step back down. Keep going up. Even if you got to walk alone for a little bit, call them out of darkness, but don't step back down. Let them start following in the path that you have already traveled with the Holy Ghost, and you can save your whole family. But shout, I ain't coming back down. Verse 39. If you don't like the results that you're looking at, don't say what you don't want to see. Don't say things if you don't want to see it. What are you supposed to do, idea? Speak the end result. That's where your faith is at. What are you supposed to do? You getting it? What are you supposed to do? My husband is a drunk. My wife is this or that. What are you supposed to do? You ain't never got no money. What are you supposed to do? I'm always being attacked with oppression. What are you supposed to be doing? You talk about the victory. You talk about the abundant life when you're broke. Do you know what I've discovered? People who live the abundant life don't really advertise it because they already got it. But you ain't got it. That's why you got to be speaking it. What are you supposed to do? If you're sick in your body, what are you supposed to do? You don't never talk about it the way it is. Never talk about what you don't want to see, even if it's present. You know that it's there, but I'm not going to acknowledge it. Boy, you better hear what I'm saying. I know that it's there, but I'm not going to put my attention on it. Have you ever ignored anybody? Raise your hand if you ever ignored anybody. Oh, lying tail. Yeah, you don't ignore people, right? Now, for whatever reason, you did it, but sometimes it's because sometimes people disrupt your peace, so you got to ignore them for a minute. Some of you, the devil is trying to disrupt your peace. You got to ignore it. You got to ignore the situation. What are you supposed to do? Speak the end result. Peace is always it. But let's look at 39. When he came forth, he said unto him, why make you ado and weep? The damsel is dead. This is what the people at the door, give me about 5 minutes. Let me just finish this today. These are the people that are, they were called professional mourners. actors. When I die, if people are fake crying, just shut it down. I tell them, ain't no repass. All the food, throw it in the garbage. If they crying, and you can feel it in there, give them something to eat. If they ain't crying for real, don't give them nothing. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, co-pastor? Shut it down. And I gave you the other part. What are you supposed to do? Throw the food in the trash. But these professional mourners shows up, and they crying, but they creating, watch this, they creating a distraction because they don't mean it. See, this is why you got to speak the end result when you're going through, because sometimes people act like they're crying, but they not losing what you losing. And they'll be doing that so you will let go. I'm teaching this real good. They want you to let go, but you saying it ain't dead yet. I ain't done with it yet. I ain't ready to cry like that yet. And they creating this all this havoc, and they don't even mean it because they're not losing their daughter. Sometimes people want you to walk away from your husband, but they going to lay down by theirs that night. And they'll be saying, girl, I understand. And the whole time they're answering the phone while they're sitting there, you talking about, babe, I'll be home in a minute. Give me, I already put your food in the microwave and the kids' clothes are already laid out. And they telling you, and the whole time they'll be telling you, child, I wouldn't sit up there and take that, but yet they going home. They'll be telling you to quit your job, and they up for a promotion. And when you quit it, they ain't going to let you move into their house. And what you got to do is that you got to shut down people who don't stand to lose nothing at your loss. And you got to start what? Fighting for what's yours and speaking the end result, aligning your heart with the Spirit and then projecting it out of your mouth. I know what it looked like right now, but I know the Lord ain't touched it yet. The Lord ain't done with it yet. And until the Lord say, let it go, I'm not going to let it go. But I tell you what you can do. I'll see you tomorrow, because I'm going to go in my bedroom, and me and the Lord going to praise about it until we can get something to happen. And watch what he does. They laughed at Jesus. This God. And when he put them out, what did he do? I just told you what to do. This is what Jesus did. You thought I was just trying to be cute. No, Jesus shut it down and put them out. Because they don't lose nothing. Lazarus called them. None of them people that was up there showing out called Jesus. His name is famous in the land. They didn't call. See, the same people who trying to keep you away from your pole man or your shepherd, they ain't never coming to church. And they trying to keep you away from the church in your darkest hour. And you got to have enough spiritual sense to do what? Shut it down. Don't call me, I'll call you after I get my breakthrough. What you supposed to do? Shut it down. Don't call me, I'll call you when we totally heal. What you supposed to do? Shut it down. Don't call me, I'll call you. No, matter of fact, don't even call. I won't even call you. I got the car now. The same way you wouldn't come pick me up, I'm going to drive my new car by your house and show you. I already got it. Now, don't call me. What you going to do? I'm going to call you. Shut it down. Because they don't stand to lose nothing. And watch this. Jesus took the damsel by the hand. And he says, Talitha Kumah, which is to interpret, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Boy, that's somebody word right there. Tell somebody, say, the Lord is telling you to arise. Whatever you in, come up right now. The Lord is saying, arise. The Lord is saying, lift up your head and just, I know you feel weak, but stand up anyway. The Lord is saying, arise. Calling things that be not as though they were. And she is showing up dead. But when Jesus said that, she got up and she walked. She got up and she walked, and everybody else was astonished. What am I trying to tell somebody? The devil is after your words. And you got to start speaking the right thing. He knows that if something is opposed to the will of God for your life, the only way he can get it in your life is that you have to agree with it and that you have to speak it. But until you get faith K-Y-M-S, just be quiet. But if you got faith, project it out. If you got it in your heart, get it out your mouth. Say, get it out my mouth. Say, his report says I'm healed. His report says I'm filled. His report says I'm free. I'm talking for people that's addicted and in bondage and whatever the case may be. The Lord is saying you don't have to keep hiding. Ooh-wee. Two dudes and one woman. One woman. Like in here right now. Two dudes and one woman. And I don't know if it's drugs, I don't know if it's sex, I don't know if it's alcohol, or they could be French braided together. Because sometimes sin travels in triplets. But his report says you're free. His report says you're free. Shout, I'm free three times. Shout it till you can feel something jiggle down on the inside. Shout, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. You can keep it if you want to. You want to be free. God done put enough faith in you to be free. Now he's waiting for you to project it out of your mouth. Shout it three times. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And the moment that you say that, the devil lost his hold over you. The moment that you open your mouth and that you project it, that the devil lost his hold over you. Say, I'm healed three times. Whatever it is in your body, the Lord is doing something in your body. He's trying to do something great for you. Shout it again. I'm healed three times. I'm healed. And that's a person that's been suffering successive loss and failure. For you, it's like been like when it rained, it poured. I have no idea who this is. But if for you, it's like when it's raining, it has been pouring. Meaning that it wasn't just family problem, it was work problem. It wasn't just work problem, it was a health problem. It wasn't just health problem, it was mind problem. Or whatever the case may be, God is giving you victory. No, he giving you the victory. Because he know you're not going to survive that condition. And he got need of your life, just like it was with that donkey. He have need for you. And the Lord is going to break you free, just like he loosed that donkey and let him go. He's going to loose you and let you go because the Lord has need of you. And watch this. And this is why he going to give you the victory, because he got need of you. You don't really want to do what he called you to do, but God got need of you because you've been uniquely made by God. That's why everybody don't understand you. And that's why everybody don't bond with you. And that's why you say everybody don't click with me, because you belong to the Lord and he needs you to stay and understand that you're in a place of elevation. And if you come down to them, they won't respect you because they know where you come from. And God said, I put you up there so that you can pull some other people up out that mess that you come up out of. Shout, I got victory. Shout it like you mean it three times. I got victory. He got need of you. He got need of your relationship. He got need of y'all. That's why you just can't sit there and take what's happening to you. You cannot talk what you see. And what you supposed to do, say it like you want to see it. What you supposed to do? You don't never declare ill will over your life. You don't even do it over your own church. I'm going to end with this. Somebody had posted something. They may be watching. They don't mind, though. And they were talking about, they put up a post of Benny Hinn, and he was saying how that he got off during his ministry. And he was doing these things to raise money, and he was using gimmicks and games and whatever the case may be. And but he said he repented. The Lord convicted him of him, and he stopped it. Gave a lot of the money back from what I understand to people, organizations. And they had made a statement about him and talking negative about Benny Hinn. And so what I kindly interjected into him was that I said, hey, you got to be careful about that. I said, you got to be careful about that. I said, because men and women of God get off just like everybody else. I said, but what was the end that he did? I said, you saw the clip of him repenting. I say, the devil never admits wrongdoing. You're looking at a man that's being led by God and was led by God that got off, but now he back on. And I say, you better be careful about using your words against them. I said, because I've told my church before, because the one guy who always does these videos, I say, he do more damage to the body of Christ than helping the body of Christ. And I said, the Lord said, I'm going to shut these people's mouth because they are minimizing the faith in people who are watching this. And watch this. I'm going to silence them. Now, you can interpret silence any way you want to. If they wrong, I'm going to say something about it. You don't get to say nothing about it. You get to avoid it until they repent. If they straight and you putting your mouth on them, God going to handle you. And I said, he said, I'm going to silence these people. Now, why do I bring this up at the end of it, of a message like this? Because what's happening in the body of Christ is people are speaking negative over their churches. And for whatever reason, the pews think that they can chastise the pulpit. Give me about 5 minutes, I'm done. When God wants to chastise the pulpit, he won't use a lay member. Come here, honey. He would use somebody that's equal. I'm a pastor. She's a pastor. I'm the, what had to be the senior pastor. She would be the co-pastor or the associate pastor or whatever. But she's a pastor. So, hold on. So, like when David fell into sin, God had all these people in the army. David was a king. He got all these commanders. All these people know that David done put, what's the man's name on the front line? Uriah on the front line. They done had him killed. All of them done seen this. They put him out there. Because David told him to. He gets killed, and God starts setting it up to chastise David, and God sent nobody in the kingdom. God sent Nathan to come to David, and why did God tell Nathan to come to David? God tells Nathan to go to David. David is a king, but Nathan is a prophet, and David is a prophet. He sent somebody, David's own equal, in the realm of the prophetic, because David is a spiritual man, and David would understand that this is God who has sent this man who don't know nothing about what I did to chastise me and to tell me exactly what's going to go. Now, watch this. If David ignores the prophet's thing, David changes the whole course for his life. If God don't kill him. See, but the whole point of it is that he didn't come. And even when he told him what the Lord said, he did not speak any negative over David. He just said, David, you talking about yourself. You already know this in you, David. This is in you. And I only bring this up because I want the body of Christ to stop speaking negative over their churches. Stop speaking negative about people, even if you know it. You don't get to have a prayer meeting with nobody about her life. And God showed you. He didn't show India. He didn't show Nicara. He didn't show Fun. He didn't show none of them. He only showed you. And when you start talking to them about her and y'all start speaking negative, now all you've done is position yourself for God to start judging you because you you mainly because he didn't show them, you told them. He didn't show them, you told them. And they started speaking negative. And then the negative, watch this. When you warn in the spirit uncomfortably all the time, I'm just talking as a general, not for real. But maybe it is for real. But if you warn all the time in the realm of the spirit and you're trying to walk right before God, then what's happening is other people you tied to are talking about you. So I won't harm you with the words of my mouth. So I won't harm you with the words of my mouth. I don't care if it's negative or not. I'm going to pray about it and I'm going to speak the end. I'm going to speak what God want to do for you. I'm going to speak what God want to bless you with. I'm going to speak the recovery of your life, recovery of your health, recovery of your mind, recovery of your marriage. But what I'm not going to do is allow the devil. See, the fiery darts, watch this, fiery darts come from the mouth of a person. When the devil is shooting darts, he really not shooting darts. He's influencing somebody else to project negative words towards you because he don't have that ability. So when I'm telling you, he told her to intercede, she told them to gossip. And the minute the devil get in there, they're shooting darts at you. So I won't harm you with the words of my mouth. I'm going to speak what the end is going to be. And the Lord is saying your end is going to be good. And until you get the good, I'm going to make sure that I help you in the form of prayer and intercession. But I'm not going to be the one that the devil used to speak negative over. This church ain't growing. Say, this church is budding. Everybody want to come to this church. We are blessed. We are healed. We are prosperous. We're living in the overflow. The Lord is doing incredible stuff in the lives of the people that's in this place. But I'm going to speak what the end is going to be. I'm never going to talk negative about you. And the pews should be scared as H-E double hockey sticks projecting their mouth against people that's up here. What would God show me? To intercede. And that is all. Why would he allow me to see that? Because maybe your future, maybe you have the anointing on your life or the mantle on your life to be somebody's armor bearer, and God is trying to see if you know how to cover the anointing. Who's the closest thing to take over, really, the ministry of the kingdom in the form of the king done? It should have been the armor bearer, because they know his intimate thoughts. They know what he really made up. I got to get out of here. Can y'all come back next week? I got to go. The game coming on in a minute. But say, I won't harm you with the words of my mouth. I'm going to speak well of you. I need you to survive. I need you to win. I need you to get some breakthroughs. I need you to stand to your feet. I need you to start living in the overflow. I need you to be happy. I need your gift to work. I need, when you prophesy, that the words don't fall to the ground and die. I need your heart to be right. I need your mind to be right. I need, when the enemy is coming at you with negative thoughts, I need you to subdue those thoughts, and I want you to cast them down. Reach up over your head and throw it down to the ground and just stomp it one time. I want you to get all them negative thoughts, everything the devil said you couldn't be, everything the devil said you couldn't have, everything the devil told you the Lord wasn't going to do on you. Reach up over your head, grab it, and throw it down. I stomp you back into the gates of hell. But all that you have said about me, all that you said about my ministry, and all you said about the people of God, the women of God, the men of God, all you said about my husband or my wife or my children, I snatch it down and I stomp it back in your face, you filthy, nasty imp. Whatever God got for you, you're going to get your hands on it. Whatever the Lord has planned for you, you're going to live it out. Whatever the Lord has promised you, you're going to get it in this life. Not in this life, you're going to get it.
I say in this life you're going to get it. Some of you don't think you can be happy. No, the Lord is going to turn your situation around. He's going to flip that frown upside down, and he's going to give you happiness in your. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. No, he's going to get it to you one way or the other. We're going to speak what the end is going to be. Lift your hands up real quick. Let's get out of here. You're the blessed of the Lord. You highly favored of the Lord. You've walked in it before. Don't let the devil convince you that it's gone. Don't let the devil convince you that you're through, that you old, that you a has-been, that you're whatever. He a lying wonder. And sometimes he's convincing, but he's not more convincing than the Lord. If you want somebody to pray with you, maybe it's not about nothing I talked about, but maybe you're going through something personal in your life. If you want to come to the altar is open. Maybe you're dealing with something in your family, maybe in your mind, maybe in your finances, maybe you just need a breakthrough. Maybe your spirit has just been agitated and off and you don't know why, but the Holy Ghost can help you figure it out. Whatever it is that the devil is tormenting with you with, some of you sleepless nights that he's been tormenting you and waking you up and messing with you. But we want to help you subdue whatever has been coming up against you. The Lord can help you. The Lord can help you. I want to talk to somebody that's unsaved. Make this your greatest day ever as you enter into covenant with the Lord and give your life to him. You've been coming to church. You've been visiting people's church. You've been around church. You maybe have even grown up church. But deep in your sanctified and your heart and your mind, you know that your soul hasn't been dedicated and given to the Lord. Make this that day that you give it to the Lord. The Lord wants to help you. He wants to deliver you if you're not saved. If you're not saved, even as you're sitting there, if you ain't got nothing going on, you can sit down if you want to. But if you're not saved, I encourage you to give your heart to the Lord today. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. I don't care whatever the case may be. All in, start and end at Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the Father unless they come through Jesus Christ. And we want you to be saved. That's what the Lord came and he died for. He died for men who are lost, that they would not be lost, that they would come to know him as their Lord and their Savior. And I don't know what the devil is tempting you with in the world, whatever he's got your hands in, the Lord wants to wash your hands. Maybe you're dealing with some guilt or some shame from some things that you've done in your life. Everybody's done something in this life because the wages, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he want to take that. Maybe you've done something. He just want to wash your hands. He just want to wash your hands. He want to touch your tongue with the hot coal. Maybe you've had your mouth on some people. You say, Lord, I want to get that off my chest. And when he hit your tongue, just like he hit Isaiah's with that coal, you're going to speak with a new language. You're going to speak with a new tongue. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can make it to heaven like that. But it's like in this dimension, it's like shooting with a single barrel shotgun when you can have a double barrel shotgun. That you can extinguish two times the devils. That you'll put the devil on the run more than you've ever done in your life. Lift your hands real quick. Endow me. Lord, 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 Lord. Worship for a minute. We're going to pray for you. Lord, Lord, with the power, with the power. Oh. Oh. come. Just stay. Keep worshiping. Look, keep worshiping.
Lord, with the power. With the power.
Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, all those who've come, as they've stretched out their hands, whatever their concerns may be, I pray for the anointing and the Holy Ghost to begin to rest upon them. I pray right now, God, that whatever's troubled them, whatever has bothered them, whatever has plagued them, whatever is tormenting their heart right now, I loose it from its assignment over them right now. All that's burdened down their hearts and weighed down their spirits, I sever those anchors that's dropped down deep from around your neck. All those that have been burdened and addicted with some stronghold, I ask you right now, God, for a total deliverance and healing, a total freeing of their hearts and their minds and their souls. For the guilty and the shame, God, rub your hands together. Rub your hands together, everybody up here. That the Lord is washing your hands of everything that you've ever done, everything that you've ever had your hands involved in. The Lord is washing you. And the Lord is asking you, he's asking you to forgive yourself. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And as you leave this altar today, may you bear no shame. May you bear no condemnation. May you bear no guilt of any and everything that you've ever done. And Father God, I ask right now that you would just wrap your arms around them as they stand, letting them know that the love of God is near them, that the love of God is near them. The Lord love you, Brother King. The love of God is near you. The love of God is embracing you. You know me. He's wrapping you with his arms right now. And Father God, I ask you right now that even as I would pray this prayer and people would come in agreement with them, may they see a complete lifting in their hearts right now. Stretch your hands out real high. A complete lifting of freedom in your spirit and in your heart right now. The Holy Ghost is really in this place. A freedom in your heart like you've never felt before. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. He's going to take you to higher heights, young sister. He's going to take you to some places that you never thought God would even qualify for. Nobody's qualified. Nobody's qualified. He's going to take you to some places that are going to blow your mind. But it's really for you. You the female version. You the female Joseph of your family. You know me. You the female version of Joseph in your family. You're going to reach back and help a lot of people in your family, far and near, based off what God got on your life. Lord, 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 Lord. Come on, ministry groups, you can pray with them. Yeah.